It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artist. You're listening to the Music's Journey podcast, brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With your special guest, here's your host, Kim Sear.
My guest, Canadian country singer-songwriter, three-time Juno Award nominee, Don Amaro, is back here with his brand new single, the first single of 2021, You Can't Always Be 21. And it features Jess Moskaloot with back vocals for this beautiful song that defines and redefines life in the most positive way. This song has so much meaning, and I can't wait to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artist. Don Amaro, welcome, Don.
Hey. Hello.
Congrats.
Nice to talk to you guys again.
Yeah, like, I'm so happy for you with this song. What a great song.
Yeah, this one is, it felt big from the moment I heard it. So I didn't write this one. This one comes from Gordy Sampson, Charles Kelly from Lady A, Simon Wilcox and Togs. But I mean, that it's a song that I feel like I definitely could have written. I mean, I'd like to think that I could have, in terms of a song that feels right for me, you know, in terms of where I'm at now in my life. And yeah, it's a big one. I felt it in my bones the first time I heard it, for sure.
And I heard Charles talk to you as well.
Yes. Yeah. Charles Kelly. Yeah. It's funny. He, just a gentleman that he is, you know, I reached out to him and I just said, hey, thanks for this song. You know, just kind of a cold message through Instagram, because, you know, I haven't met him before. And, you know, an hour or two later, he writes me back and saying he loves what, you know, what we're doing and glad that we're putting it out there, and let him know when we're putting it out and he'll share it. And actually, we both released a song on Friday. Lady A released their song, Like a Lady. And and then I put mine on the same day. And he still put a shout out for us on Friday. So he's been really kind to do that. I mean, obviously, he's no slouch in the country music scene. So it's nice to have his support as well.
He's an amazing guy. I've met him a few times.
Definitely he's, seems real genuine.
Yeah, and he is. He really cares about his music, and he really cares about what he's putting out there as a writer too.
Mm-hmm.
And he supports every artist, you know, no matter what, you know, in this country music business. And you know, such a great guy. Such a great guy.
Yeah. Nice to have his endorsement on that, for sure. I mean, you know, the fact that he wrote this song is, you know, he feels, it's a bit of a, you know, every time you write a song, it's a little bit like it's one of your babies. So it's nice to be able to share one of Charles Kelly's babies this way.
And it helps, too, when you got those velvety vocals that are coming in behind this one, too, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's it's a lot of a labor of love, I like to call it.
Well, you know what? It's a perfect tone, a perfect song for you. And I know it has a little bit more meaning to you and the reasons why it fit, you know, in your life right now. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, the song is called, like you say, You Can't Always Be 21. And, you know, I keep saying that this one feels like a second coming of age. That's kind of what this song is talking about. And, you know, when you turn 21, it's like the world opens up to you in a new way, and you can explore it. You know, you can kind of go anywhere. You know, and you're legal everywhere. And that was sort of the idea that I figured they started this song with, the idea that you know, you start off quite free, and not that you lose that freedom, but there is a time when you kind of have to, like, you know, tighten your bootstraps and figure out exactly who you are and what you're going to be and why you're going to be. You know, and I think that's what this song is. It's kind of a call to action. And you know, there's a big line in the chorus, and I'll say it here. Hopefully that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the line says, now's the time to get your shit together. And that struck me because I realized, like, why would they say that? You know, why would they put a swear word in there? Because immediately you're going to have some, you know, hang-ups about that. And then I thought, that's really the line. That's what it
mm-hmm.
is. I mean, that's where we all feel like we've all lived that life where you're like, okay, I really got to get it together, you know? And I think that line is just kind of like a putting it out there to say, we've all got to get it together. And to be honest, I think the reason why this song hit me so much is because I turned 40 this past year, and I, you know, I've got my three kids, and they're pretty happy and healthy. And, you know, my bills are mostly paid, and I feel like I'm in that place of kind of having gotten my shit together, you know? And,
mm-hmm.
and so it sort of hit me, this song, in a time that was kind of exactly right for me. And I think It's more than a coincidence that the song found its way to me, I think.
I think things always happen, you know, for a reason. We might not be willing to, you know, open that opportunity door, or, you know, you might be too busy with the noise. But maybe, do you think that just going through this last year, you know, everything that you've gone through, you reevaluate, you're redefining, as you said, you're redefining your life. at this point?
I think you're constantly, I guess I've always believed that if you're here living and breathing, you're always growing, you know, and there's always an opportunity to learn something and learn something about yourself and add that to your character, you know. And I feel like, you know, as much as I feel like I know where I'm at today, I know that there's days in the future waiting ahead that sort of uncertainty comes again, you know. And so it's a roller coaster ride, that's for sure. But it's nice to have that feeling, at least right now in my life, that I've got some nice balance going on.
I'm so happy for you. This song is such a great song. How did Jess Moskalut come into this one?
Yeah, so interesting story. So Mike listened to the song, and when we first heard the demo, it was Charles Kelly singing, so you can imagine we were all pretty smitten with that already. and it sounded like a Lady A song, because, you know, his voice is so synonymous with Lady A. If you hear it, you're like, oh, wow, this sounds like... And it's a really, you know, it's got an epic build, and it goes up and up and up. And then Mike noticed, he said, there's a real strong female vocal in there. And I think he recognized that it was Hillary Scott from Lady A. So it was a Lady A demo, really, is what it sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike said, I think we need to get a strong female vocal in there for you, Dawn. And so we actually reached out to Madeline Merlot first, Ron Kitchener, her manager, and just said, you know, would she have any interest in singing this song with Dawn? And Ron got back to us saying, you know, the timing kind of couldn't be worse, because she had just signed a U.S. record deal. There's a lot of heat going on for her around that, which is, you know, rightly so. I mean, she's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And just timing didn't work out to have her sing on this one. So Mike said, you know, let's just see if Jess would be interested. And, you know, Jess is a label sister with MDM. So Jess is such a, you know, you talk about genuine, kind people. She's
she
right
is.
Up there too. And,
yeah.
And she was, you know, more than happy to jump on and sing some vocals. And actually, she's so kind. She was like, she sang the song, and she, you know, she just adds this incredible layer that, I mean, she's one of the queens of Canadian country, right? And so it's undeniably feeling like Jess. And Jess comes back just going, hey, guys, I think you need to turn me down. You need to take this part out of the mix, because this really needs to be Don's song and he needs to shine. And I thought, that's so cool of her to recognize that and sort of just sort of be fine sort of taking a back seat sort of in the song and support me. And I just think that's a really genuine move on her part.
Well, I am so thrilled that this song landed in your hands, and we're going to play it right now for everybody. You Can't Always Be 21 by my very special guest, Winnipeg's country singer-songwriter, Dawn Amaro, here on Music's Journey.
Cheap brown whiskey on the counter, scrounging for a pack of camel lights. Fresh ID for the bouncer on a Friday night. Stealing hearts like you're some kind of desperado, talking up your stories to your friends. When you're done sleeping in all morning, you go and do it all again. When you're young, you think you're young forever, out living wild and free. That's how it's supposed to be. Cause you only live once, and you can't always be 21. Now the good times are just bad habits, when you see a goodbye in your eyes. When you're pushing 35, still getting high school high, you don't realize how fast it goes by. When you it's all said and done, you can try all you want, but you can't always be 21. Yeah. Oh.
From MDM Recordings, there's Don Amaro and You Can't Always Be 21, featuring Jess Moskaluk. And now let's get back to the Music's Journey podcast. Once again, here's your host, Kim Sear.
This song is so good. I cannot be happier for you. This song is going to do so well. You are on a roll, my friend. You are on a roll.
You know, it's I kid you not, about 45 minutes ago, I took my son to school, my 9-year-old boy. We rode bikes this morning because the weather turned
out
quite well in our favor, so we rode bikes, and I was biking back home, and I just said, man, like, I don't know what it is that I'm doing, but I feel just immense blessings, you know, in my life with all the things that I've got going on in my career, you know, again, with my family being in the place that we're in. And it's just, it's a little bit like, I probably said this last time we chatted, but it's a bit of a head scratcher for me because I feel like, I guess what it is, you know, I do feel like it's a blessing. I feel like there's, you know, there's more to it than, again, like I said before, it's not just coincidence. I think there is some divine intervention in my life happening. And also I put in the work too, you know, and I got a team around me that really does, you know, work tirelessly around the clock almost, you know, for their artists like MDM and my manager, Lori Brown as well. And it's a beautiful family I've got around me in my music world and in my personal world. And I count my blessings every day. So it really is an incredible place to be in right now.
And you've also gone through, you know, a hard journey yourself, you know, to get here and the hard work to get here. And I think that's why, you know, when you finally get into that pocket and sit there and say, you know what, strip it all back, you know, to how I felt when I was younger. I think this is why this song's going to mean so much to a lot of people, not only just for yourself, but, you know, when you're young and you're starting out in this business, you got these dreams, you're not ready to hear. This isn't just a party. You
right.
Know, this is not just, you know, when I'm going to get out there, I'm going to kick some butt and I'm going to get on the big stage and the big tour buses. And, you know, this is the way it's going to be. This is my dream. But then life settles in and you realize how hard you got to work for this.
Yeah.
Continue to work. And that's, you've believed in yourself. That's an intervention on its own, a very divine intervention. You got to have that faith and belief. And
well, it's funny, you kind of, there's a season in this, I mean, it's a relatively long season where you have to be almost your biggest cheerleader because at the beginning, you know, it's your mom is in your corner because she's your mom. And, you know, but then it's just like you build one fan at a time and you have to say, this is, I feel like my worth in my mission in whatever it is that I'm doing. We're talking music, but it could be in anything, right? If you really know where you want to end up, I think that's what pushes you to kind of keep going forward. And for me, it was never about awards. It was never about sort of, I never even dreamt about a particular stage. I mean, to be honest, like, you know, you'd see, you know, I don't know, I'm thinking like the Eagles or something on TV and you'd see them, you know, with 50,000, 60,000 people in an arena and that looks awesome. But that was never my drive. My drive was always like, okay, so whoever's listening, I want to move them. I want them to feel like the world isn't quite as heavy as it was before they heard me sing, you know? And so I share stories and I share songs that I hope my whole thing is music is medicine. And if I can help them in their day, then mission accomplished. And that's always been my drive. And I think I always say the byproduct of my successful journey is great opportunities that have come out and elsewhere, right? Like, the idea of those Juno nominations and the other awards that I have won and, you know, opportunities to perform at various stages and with different people and even people that I've crossed paths with, you know, and here now I am with a Charles Kelly song and a Gordy Sampson. And I just feel like it was never the goal, but I think the byproduct of a successful journey in the music world is those opportunities and even financial success comes with that too.
Very much so. And, you know, like just being able to be in tune with yourself to know what a song works for you, not just one that's going to work for radio. And you have been very keen when it comes to being able to pick out those songs that are right for you. And this is perfect timing, not only for you, but for all the listeners that are going to be hearing it. You're going to be uplifting people's lives and changing people's lives with this song.
I like this song particularly because I feel like it spans generations, right? Like, I think it's going to speak to the the 25-year-old who looks back at 21 thinking, man, remember what it was like at 21, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to speak to the, you know, the 30-year-old, the 40, the 50, the 60, and it literally just goes on, right? There's so many people in my life who, in their mind, they say they still feel in their 20s, but, you know, physically and in their age, they're not there anymore, but we all kind of also stay there in a way, right? And I think the line, you can't always be 21, I like to say, it's really going to hit home for a lot of different folks, because it will have a different meaning for everybody in a way.
Well, I think they're going to take a look at it and say, what have I done with my life? Even if you are 25, what am I doing right now, you know, that's moving me in the direction I want to be? Like, what am
right.
I actually putting my foot down and making roots in? Or, yep. you know, if you're 30 years old, you know, am I going to be a parent? Like, where am I going from here? Am I in the right career? Whatever the decisions might be, it might be somebody who's going through, you know, mental illness or loss or, you know, so many things that people can take a look at that and get a message from this one. I think it's just such an inspiring song, and it helps people to strip back away from the noise and say, listen, what do I really want for me? What have I accomplished and what can I do?
You know, that is my hope. I think with a song like this, like that, it just continues to build in a positive note for people, and that people aren't looking back and kind of, there may be some nostalgia obviously that comes with it, but also like that it does help somebody sort of like build towards their future, right, and the future that they want. And I kind of love the progression of the song too, because the first chorus says, you know, you got the rest of your life to get yourself together, and then the next line says, well, you're running out of time, and then the last chorus is like, well, now is the time to get it together. Otherwise, you're never going to get it together, you know? And I love that it really does get heavier as the song goes, for sure.
Well, that's life's journey, right? And the song and the lyrics couldn't be more perfect to somebody's life. And it's up to you to whether you embrace it and take that next stage in the life and, you know, be present in your own life and do something about that. And that's what you've done. And, you know, such a great opportunity, such a precious thing time is. And that's what this whole song is about. And great
absolutely.
Tune right now. Great tune. So, so happy. Are you okay to do the burning questions?
Oh, yeah.
Interview?
Yeah, of course.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Biggest life lesson so far?
Biggest life lesson so far? Biggest life lesson so far. That is a big question.
Suits the song right now, doesn't it?
yeah. Biggest life lesson so far is, that has really stumped me. I feel like every day I have a big lesson being taught to me somewhere, and now I can't collect one of them. Yeah, I'll say this one, because I think it's one that I struggle with, actually, and I don't do very well with all the time, but I think it's better sometimes to listen than to talk. Most people that know me know I can talk and ramble on and on and on, which is probably proven here on this podcast.
No, actually, this is great.
I think I need to sometimes remember to sit and listen, and it's okay to not have an opinion or to not always find a solution. You know, my wife would say I'm always trying to solve the problem instead of just hearing what the problem is, you know, and I think that's something I still wrestle with, trying to figure out, you know, my way through that, you know, especially in our relationship. And I think that's one of the things I'm really working on right now, is to be a really good listener. And actually, a really cool quote I heard a couple of years ago, my wife and I took an empathic listening course. I don't know if it helped me all that much, but this line was incredible. It said, you know, to truly listen means to listen so intently that you allow yourself to be changed by what you hear. And I think that's you know, when you're really listening, when you're just taking it in, and that you'll allow yourself to be changed by what you hear. And I think that's such a profound statement, that if you really think about it, it's like, okay, yeah, that's really significant. I tend to want to live on this plane of like, everything is great, everything's happy, everything's, you know, there's peace everywhere, it's great. But as soon as somebody gives me some bad news, I try to go, okay, but it can't be that bad, right? Instead of going, you know, even with my kids, right, I'm often like, oh, it's not that big a deal, it's fine. But in their world, right, like that not getting the thing that they wanted in that moment, that's a big deal to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that I don't always do well is acknowledging the loss or frustration of others. I try to just gloss it over. I think because I also suffered so much of that in my own life, and I learned how to like just, I don't know if the right term is like put a Band-Aid over it or just like push it away. But for me, the tough stuff I was going through growing up, I had to like just forge ahead, you know?
That's how you navigated through the pain. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And maybe this is the long answer to that question of the hardest life lesson I had to learn. But I think that's it. It is really just listening so intently that you're willing to be changed by it. And not everything has to have a solution, right? Sometimes mm-hmm. it's just hearing the problem and knowing that it exists.
Well, it's a good, great lesson for your kids, because if they're coming forward and letting you know, hey, this is what's bothering me, this is what it means to me. That's mm-hmm. the, you know, kids have a way of being able to say it like it is, and they're doing the right thing when they do that. It's us parents when, you know what, whatever we're dealing with, whether it's life or, you know, life's getting in the way, or, you know, whether it's our past or whatever's going on, we have to be able to look at it the way that they do, because if we stop the communication and shut it down and not let them work through their feelings, those are the skills that they need later on. And
totally.
Yeah. And that's a pretty big point.
I think there's a window of time too, where you solidify that relationship with your kids. And I think by the mm-hmm. time they're teenagers, that window's already closed quite a bit. So, I mean, Pam and I feel like we're doing a lot of heavy lifting, Pam mm-hmm. and my wife, with our kids right now, and making sure that they do know that we are there for them. And something that we've often said, especially with our son, my boy who's 9, he's got ADHD, and he's got some big feelings a lot of the time. And one of the things we often have to reinforce into him is just to say, those feelings are fine. It's what you do with them that's important,
exactly.
right? And how you, what's your outlet? Like, if you're punching holes in the wall and throwing, making a big mess, that's probably not the best way to use those feelings. The other day, we had this epic just breakdown with him, and he could not snap out of it. And I said, you know, you've got these tools. You got, you know, your breathing exercises. You've got, you're counting down. You've got these, this one we use with the 5 senses. And I said, you could also be physical. Like, if you want to punch your pillow or do some push-ups or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he was not getting out of this funk. So I just took it upon myself to just do it. I started punching on a pillow, and then I started doing push-ups. And after about a half an hour of him kind of losing his mind, he saw me and he's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm getting my own frustrations out. And then he snapped out of it and sort of brought him back. And he was like, oh, okay, so this does work, right? And mm-hmm. and he knows that, but I think he's just sometimes so stuck in that feeling that he doesn't know how to, like, use that in a way that's going to be positive and not destructive and hurt himself or hurt others around him, you know?
Well, I think that's going to, you know, take some time too, because he's got to be able to navigate it. But if he sees that you guys stay calm about it and say, hey, there's another way to deal with your feelings and another way to be able to approach that, they do need to let it out if it's there, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
They got to be honest about their feelings. If they withhold that, then you're just suppressing it. But
exactly.
So it sounds like you guys are right on the right track with that one. What a great life lesson. Very cool.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, pretty big.
Okay, so next one. If you could step into the shoes of any artist, so step into it, not go back and meet them or anything else, but step into
right.
their shoes, who would it be and why?
The name that comes to mind, and maybe because it's, I have a lot of years listening to him, but Elton John comes to mind. I grew up on, you know, my dad would play a lot of different things, but Elton John was a pretty heavy rotation in our home. And my wife and I jokingly say that Benny and the Jets is our song. We joked one day that we said, maybe early on in our dating life or something, this song came on, and maybe we had a kiss or something. I can't quite remember what it was, but I guess this is our song now. And we kind of just laughed about it. But now, obviously, of course, 20 years later, that's still our joking, like, oh, here's our song, right? And but so I grew up on that. And Elton John has seen some things right in his time and his career, and has you know, come out as a gay man and throughout his career, and, mm-hmm. and has had to, like, carved a path, I think, for so many. And I think that, you know, for him, where he's at in his life now, I wonder what it would be like to kind of walk a mile in those shoes. And, that's what comes to mind today when you ask that question.
Wow, just to be in his mind alone,
mm-hmm.
you know, and see how he's navigated through an awful lot of stuff. And he's been an inspiration for so many people, and his music today just still does the same thing. Absolutely one of my favorite artists of all time.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Now that you have reevaluated your life so far, what is at the top of your bucket list of things to do yet?
Top of my bucket list. Okay, well, maybe this is pretty fresh because I think I'm on the road. I'd like to release a book.
Mm.
I wrote a children's book that I'm still kind of trying to get off the ground, but I'm hoping that, you know, by the end of this year, I'll have something in hand that either we can start sort of selling independently or even get published. We're not totally sure what the trajectory is there yet. It's like music, but it's different, right? There's a different sort of path you have to follow to kind of get that out there. So I'm exploring that. It's a book that deals with death, and I kind of wrote it hoping that it would help a young person kind of navigate a little bit of what that's like and why it doesn't all have to be sort of doom and gloom.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is some beauty in that, that saying goodbye in a way too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that I can get that
that's
out there this year.
That's very cool.
I've also had the desire to write an actual book, not quite a how-to book, because I don't know if people would want a how-to from Don Amaro, but I do feel like there's a bit of my journey that I think a lot of young artists could learn from. And one of the things, I've never been sort of precious about the information that I want to share with people. I'm always an open book, because I feel like if part of my story helps you in yours and to be successful on your journey, I want to give that to you, you know? And so my thinking is, you know, my path has not been a traditional one.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, most people would say that in terms of their career in music, but, you know, being 40 and still sort of breaking my way in and making headway, that's not an all that common story, you know?
And no, I feel it's like not.
And I started late. I started at 27 years old, full-time into music. So it's been a journey, and I think that there is somewhere down the line where I'll want to share the ins and outs of it, so that again it might help somebody else on their journey.
Kudos to you for that. I think that's going to be, you know, something that people can look back on, and just that journey because of what you represent here in Canada. And I think that what you represent in this world and what you represent in the US and all around the globe, you've done such an amazing job as an artist, but also as a person. And, you know, everybody learns from everybody's journey. That's our legacy.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're talking about in that book, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thanks, Kim. That's really cool to hear. I guess I just got to, I'm hoping that more than my mom will want to read the book.
I'll read it. Not a problem. Okay, here's a fun question. What is your most useless talent?
That's a good question. My most useless talent.
Mm-hmm.
I can. What can I do? I want to say like beatbox or moonwalk, but I don't know if those are really useless. Like, I may use them yet.
Can you beatbox right now? Can you do it right now?
Yeah, I'll see if this works.
Okay.
Something
not
like
bad.
Very cool.
That is so cool. Who so knew? Don Amaro can beatbox.
I do that around the house so often that I have videos of my kids at like 1.5 when they start doing it too. It's so funny. Because then I've got these 2-year-olds
cool.
That can beatbox. It's
that's
so great.
Awesome.
Can you beatbox and moonwalk at the same time?
I probably could. Yeah, I probably have done that actually.
Okay, so you got to send us a video. You got to send us a video, because this is what we've been doing at the end of all of our articles, is showing the little video of what you guys say is your most useless talent. So
it's interesting. You keep asking, and nobody sends anything.
No, we got one coming. We have somebody coming
sure
that can
do
a frog throat. No, he just sent it to me.
Okay.
I got it today. So, yes.
Okay, so you guys want a beatboxing video of me moonwalking.
That's right.
Moonwalking beatbox.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll also send you one of my little girl, Stella,
yes.
doing the beatbox. It is.
Oh,
it
nice.
Is,
please,
I
yes.
posted it a while ago, and it blew up. I swear, Stella's going to outshine me. Well, she already does. But if
she's
she
a child,
a
she's going to do it well.
Well, yeah, if she chooses a career in music, I'm definitely going to be in her shadow very soon.
So. Nice. Well, it has been such a pleasure to have you here on the show again, and we do hope that you're going to stop by again with more music. Do you have a video coming for this one?
Yeah, we just talked about it yesterday. We're going to kind of put the pedal to the metal on that too, and hopefully I get something out within the next, you know, 5 or 6 weeks. We obviously, it means we got to move pretty quick here, but we're going to kind of get on that real quick and hopefully have something soon.
Do me a favor, shoot me that And
yeah, you bet.
We'll get you back up again, and we can do that. And maybe I'll have that video from you. And
yeah, you will for sure.
Sounds good. It has been such a pleasure to have you on the show. And again, congratulations on your brand new single, You Can't Always Be 21. An awesome, awesome single.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks for the chat and always supporting country music the way that you do. Thanks so much.
Not a problem. You take care of yourself and make some more memories out there, okay?
You bet I will.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks so much, Don.
Bye-bye now.
Take care.
It is always great to have Don Amaro on the show. He's just a man full of love and inspiration for the people around him and the songs that he chooses. And his song right now, You Can't Always Be 21, what a fabulous song. A very, very special song. Don't forget that you can download this, you can share it and stream it. And you also can request it from your local country radio station and request it to have it played. So you can do an awful lot, you know, to be able to help out your artist. Thank you once again, Don, for joining me here on Music's Journey. And you will be coming back to see us again to talk to us about the video. So we're looking forward to it. What a week we have here for you. Just getting ready to start with Jade Eagleson. We have Lindsay L. that's going to be here today. We have Sean Carson, and we have Elise Saunders. We've got Jordan Hart, pop artist Maya Zeta, The Heels, Jason Benoit, Diane Chase, and Madison Old is going to be here. And thank you once again for everybody that listens around the world. We couldn't do it without you all, and we appreciate each and every one of you. So go out there, make some memories today. Time is so precious, and creating the memories of a lifetime is such a beautiful thing. Thank you so much. I'm your host, Kim Sear, and thanks for tuning in on Music's Journey.
A great big thank you to Don Amaro for chatting with us today. Once again, his new single is You Can't Always Be 21. Funny thing is, my aunt is still 39. Every year, she's 39. The Music's Journey podcast is brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com. You can listen to all our podcasts on Amazon Music, Google Podcast, Spotify, TuneIn Alexa, Podcast Addicts, Deezer, Player FM, Podchaser, Pocket Cast, and more. Our theme song is titled I Can Tell by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of your host, Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.